Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on The Gathering Radio Show.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to The Gathering. This is Stephanie.
And this is Heidi. Happy Tuesday night to everyone. So glad to be here tonight.
Yeah, we have a really exciting guest tonight.
We do, and we've had some, you know, interesting, events since last week, too. So
yes.
We can, I guess, do a little recap before we get started and dig in, because we'll never get back to anything
That's
else
right.
after this.
That's right. So tell me, Heidi, what did you do over the weekend?
I am in the process of doing a deep shamanic dive on my own self-work, and so that's what I was doing all weekend, is some shamanic training. I finished up an apprenticeship this weekend because I'll be finishing my master's degree this month in shamanic, what is the title? Shamanic Intuitive Practices is my master's degree. And so I've been working on that feverishly this month so I can get that wrapped up by the end of the month when I go to North Carolina. So for my final training. So I'm excited.
Yeah.
And it's been crazy this week.
I bet. So after you do that, then you're going to teach some classes, which I am going to partake in also. So that's going to be really fun. I can't wait for you to do this. So we should have a graduation party for you once you're done.
We should just have a party.
A party.
That's fun.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. I'm excited for this, and I've been working my buns off typing. I'm doing a paper on remote viewing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, we'd like
my
to talk
final.
About that on this show. So that's awesome.
So that's my final paper.
Awesome.
Isn't that cool that you can write a paper on remote viewing for college?
It is. That is bizarre. That is bizarre. Oh, my gosh. Well, yeah, everybody's busy. And I know I didn't really have anything paranormal going on this weekend. I just went to, you know, a rock show because, you know, that's what I do. But
that's your thing.
But that is
when you're not
thing.
Doing your thing, that's your thing.
That's my thing. Yeah. I know, right? Either I'm paranormal investigator, I'm at a rock show, or, you know, whatever.
Rock and roll.
I'm a rock and roll girl. Yeah, it is. I'm a rocker. But I did. Casey and I just booked our flights to San Juan Island out in Washington State last night. So we will be going there. And actually, I will be there for one of our shows. So I was thinking,
you could do an on location.
And I could go up to Roach Harbor, up to the mausoleum, and
we
can just talk for a little bit. I don't know how good the coverage is up there, but I have done live chats up there before, so I think it should be okay. That would be really fun, just for maybe, you know, 20 minutes or half an hour or something.
That would be fun.
I could
hold down the fort here in the old MN.
Yeah, and we could sit at the mausoleum where all those McMillans are buried and see if, you know, because the locals tell me ghosts fly around at midnight out there, and of course, when we're on, it's like 6 p.m. or something, but I mean, there are weird things that happen there. I've been there often enough to know. But, yeah, so might have to do that.
I think it's a good idea. And if they're flying around at midnight, they've got to be somewhere at 6 o'clock. So we could just see if you can, you know, fluff them out.
Yeah.
See if you can get some of them to chat with you.
But we'll do that for sure. So we'll be on location on San Juan Island. Well, I will be. Heidi will be here in Minnesota. But
I'll hold down the fort.
Yeah.
Good. That's fun.
So our very special guest this evening is Steve Gonzalez. Steve.
Hi. How's it going?
Hey. We're so happy you're here with us tonight. This is so much fun.
Yes. Welcome to our show.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, yeah. So we see Steve every year at our crazy little thing called the Minnesota Paracon here in Minnesota. And he's so much fun. And I just thought, I don't know, about a month ago, I just had this crazy thought. And I sent him a message. I said, Steve, you want to be on my radio show? And he said, yes, I would love to. So here he is, and we're all excited. And so welcome to the gathering. This is going to be fun. So,
thanks.
So, Steve, what have you been doing lately?
Not too terribly much. I've been making my way around the country. The last couple of weeks, been working on a few different projects and doing some appearances and some events. And we've been navigating this road of, our TV show and figuring out the next path for that and all that stuff. Yeah, it's been a busy year, mostly full of travel, but still having fun, still investigating. And and I'll be at Paracon this year to hang out with you guys.
No, I can't wait. It's always fun. You know, we always say it's the paranormal family reunion up there every fall.
Ooh, you know? Yeah.
I mean, it really is, because we all hang out together at the bar and we all drink and we all have fun and you know, it's just a good time, really.
Yeah, it was really, really fun. One year though, this gentleman sort of cornered me and Dave Tango and was kind of yelling at us and telling us that we're messing with demons and we shouldn't be, and it was kind of spitting in our face. And finally, we weaseled our way out from, you know, around him, and we were going towards our beds, and we saw all these paintings on the wall, and all the owners, and we looked at it, and all of a sudden there's that guy. We're like, dang, that guy owns the damn casino. It was one of them, but he was telling us, he was like, you shouldn't be, you know. And then brought it up to one of the other gentlemen that owned the place, and he was like, oh yeah, that's, I forget his name, but he's, that's so and so, you know, he's really into that stuff. He's a little afraid of what you're doing, but the place is really, really cool. It's a fun little casino, I tell you what.
You know, it really is, and it's amazing, because it's a smaller casino, and it's out in the middle of nowhere, you know. But so many people come to this Paracon. It's just it's very fun, and everybody's really nice. You know, all the people that come are really nice, and they treat everybody really nice. Like, well, except for that guy.
Right? From Minnesota. I'm sorry for that.
Well, and you know,
those
what's
are the
interesting?
Kind of things that can be stories.
Well, no kidding. But, you know, it's interesting that he was, so he must have been on the board, you know, or whatever that, the leaders of the band or whatever. But that's interesting that he would feel that way when they're the ones that put it on, right? That's bizarre.
Yeah, that's an interesting.
Well, you know, Native American, they're very spiritual. It's in their culture. It's part of them. And some of them really do feel like if you're into what we do, you're meddling in things you shouldn't be. You know, you're stirring things up. You're releasing things. You're unleashing things on Earth that should not be messed with and talked to. And they truly believe that. So I don't blame them. If I thought someone was, you know, conjuring up stuff, I'd probably tell them to relax too.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it is true. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, and we even tell on our paranormal team, if we go into a really active, like a home or something, you know, not businesses so much, but if it's a home, you know, we'll always say, you know, the activity might increase after we're here, because it does stir things up, honestly. It does. No matter, you know, I mean, we don't provoke or anything, but the spirits get all worked up, you know, and they do. Oh. It is much more active there for a few days. Have you found that to be true?
No.
Mm-mm.
Not for us. Not in our case study. Anyway, I think that certain things have sort of got them riled up. But I think it's a personality thing. You know, if when they were alive, if they got riled up around people, maybe they will once they're dead too. But if they, you know, didn't really get bothered by having some people mess around with them when they're alive, they probably won't once they're dead. But yeah, we kind of find that. You know, but when we go into places, we're very, you know, we're very respectful. We're very, we build rapport. We treat them more like they're, you know, long lost friends, more so than strangers. So, we try not to stir things up. I mean, sure, it can happen.
Well, we don't either
necessarily.
you know, I just think that, you know, just maybe we get the crazy cases and they're already stirred up. So then when we go in, they just get even a little bit more wild, you know.
It could be, yeah. Well, maybe they're a little more boisterous in Minnesota than other parts of the country. I'm not sure.
Well, we get cooped up here for so long that it makes us a little nuts.
Well, so. Yeah.
It could be a regional personality type of thing with this spirit.
I love it. So, you know, last year, Steve, do you remember that there were 2 suicides at Paracon last year? I forgot about that. Jerry just mentioned that.
I sure do.
Remember, there was like one right in the hallway, and she tried to, it was terrible. But there are, they do say that there are several rooms there that are quite active as well. And people have told us that they, you know, but I don't know. It'd be fun to get in those rooms. I don't know what the room numbers are, but, you know, might be fun to have a haunted room during Paracon, you know, see what happens.
It would be fun. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's sad. You know, it's terrible that other people's tragedy and trauma, you know, is what, you know, is fodder for what we do. But, it would definitely be, I'd rather be in a haunted room than not a haunted room, I suppose.
Absolutely. Keeps it interesting.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I like to do, too, I mean, with the investigating, it's, you know, it's not just for fun and games. I mean, if there's someone there that does need our help, that's one of the reasons that we do it is, you know, if we can communicate with someone and see that they are struggling because they are stuck or they're trapped or can't move on or they need help or they need to pass along a message before they go and they don't know how to do it. I mean, that's always really rewarding when you can help someone, a spirit, you know, that is stuck or something is going on so that they can't move on. So that's, you know, if there was someone that was still there, that had, you know, that unfortunate end and they needed help, it would be good to be able to help them.
Yeah.
So
absolutely. Yeah.
It's true.
Sure would.
So we have, we want to dig into your, just, you know, a little bit of what you've been doing, I guess, over the years or maybe some of your favorite investigations. And then we do have some questions in our chat room. We have a chat room here on our website that people will be and have already started submitting some questions. So we'll let you know what those are as well, if that's okay with you.
Sure, of course. Yeah, you got it. I'm down.
Perfect. So I'm just curious. Well, first of all, okay, when I was doing a little research on you and I was looking for your website, and I don't think you have one. Is that correct?
That's correct. I do not have a website. No.
Okay. So I was reading on your Facebook page because I don't have Twitter or Instagram. So I have to go where I know. And I saw that you have done some work with Guillermo del Toro. Is that correct?
That is true. Yeah. Yep.
That's exciting.
It was very exciting. It was a lot of fun. I never met him or anything, but we did. Yeah. We worked on a project together. We both executive produced a horror short. And a director friend of ours, she was the editor of a magazine called Rue Morgue, one of my favorite horror movie magazines. And she asked me if I would want to be, you know, part of this project as executive producer and paranormal advisor. And I said, heck yeah. And it was really cool. A lot of fun. And, you know, it's cool to have worked with horror royalty, you know, so that's always a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Yeah. When I saw that, I'm like, get out of town. That's cool. Here the 7 degrees of separation just got a little smaller for me.
I thought,
here we go. I love it.
Well, yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was cool just to be in the same sort of, you know, email threads and things as him and be like, yeah, we talked to him the other day. And he said this about, what do you think? And I'm like, what does it matter what I think? You already asked him. You
know, like, right?
Who am I? I'm nothing in this project. But
God.
It was cool.
That's cool. When was that? Which one was it?
Called The Captured Bird.
Oh, okay.
And it was like 2009, maybe 2010.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. Something like that. It was a while ago now.
Yep. Well, but his stuff is classic.
Yeah.
So yeah. That's fun. That's good. Okay, ooh. That I had.
Are you
to
into horror movies? I
would love to be into horror movies, but I don't like the gross stuff. So that is a deterrent for me, but I love his work just because he's a genius and for all the obvious reasons. So I, as much as I can watch, you know, that I do. And just the way that he is, like, I mean, he's a, you said he's royalty when it comes to horror. So, and the emotions and twists and just the way he can turn the films that he makes is just amazing. So, yeah, I
absolutely
respect
visually.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. I've been they had a show here, one of his shows here at the, I don't know if you went to it, Steph, the Minneapolis Institute of Art, and they had some of his creations there, and just, oh my goodness,
amazing.
He couldn't get enough of it.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic
great
stuff. Yeah. Anyway, well, cool. That's super neat. I just had to ask about that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, I'm not a gross one for the gross icky stuff either. But I do like a movie with a good scare. You know, one that really scares you to your toes, and you have to scream.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know, and you know, it doesn't have to be. You know, like one of the ones that scared me a lot was, remember the Mothman with Richard Gere. You know, I remember I went to see my brother, and you know that wasn't outrightly scared, but you know, when you think about the subject matter, you know, the Mothman's going to tell you all these terrible things that are happening. And I just remember as we were walking out of the theater, I went with my brother Chris, and he said to me, "Wow, I hope that Mothman doesn't come visit me anytime soon." Because we all know there is, you know, he's a cryptid. I mean, they say he's really around, you know, being in this field, we learn about all of this stuff. So, you know, it's not exactly like that movie, but I like a good scare. But yeah, I don't really like the grossness either. I'm with you, Heidi, on that one.
Yeah. Yep. The blood's not for everybody. Not all horror has to be bloody and gross. A lot of it is very cerebral. Some of it is romanticized. It doesn't always have to be nasty. No. I mean, nasty's good, but
it can be.
Oh, for sure. Wow, so we have a lot of questions here. So let's start with Jerry from The Calling, actually, who's on another radio show here. He's my husband, actually. You've met him, too.
Oh, hey.
So he says, when you are done, wait a minute, no, I totally lost the question. Look at that, I went too far down. Where is it? He said, when you are done with an investigation and you have revealed to your clients and you know the place is definitely active and haunted and the clients would like someone to clear it, do you do that or do you recommend someone to them to take care of that? Or don't you believe in that?
To clear it, you said? To clear?
Yeah, to cleanse it or clear it of the spirits.
No, we don't do any of that. I don't think there is a way you can do that, personally. We have different things that we try. Maybe we just don't call it clearing, you know, but we'll do things like a systematic object removal where, you know, if we think something's attached to a piece of furniture or something, we'll systematically remove items from the home until we see that the activity stops, that kind of thing. We try verbal escalation where we, you know, sort of empower them to take their home back, and sometimes that works. Get the clergy involved sometimes, and whether you're religious or not, for whatever reason, sometimes that has some success. But, you know, clearing, if you mean it in that sense, that, you know, that storybook sort of clearing and cleaning the house where you get the spirits to move on or go towards the light, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't do any of that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. But
I mean,
if
the client wants that. So.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. We cater to the client, too. If the client, you know, really wants to get psychics involved to try to move something, we'll call psychic friends in. If they think there's a demon in the house, you know, our first call will always be John Zappas or Keith Johnson, you know, that sort of thing. But, you know, what you see on our show really is a preliminary investigation, you know, because for us, the average investigation would last almost a year, you know, in TAPS. The shortest investigation is 2 to 3 months. So, you know, when you see a show and we're at a place for 2 weeks, that really is a preliminary investigation. And then, you know, we put it in aftercare where we have a local team follow up or we send somebody from the TAPS home team to, you know, really finish it up, that sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And that is interesting. I think most people don't realize that, you know, we are all, our clients are ours for a long time. Like we have some clients in northern Minnesota, actually close to Menomon, that we've been working with for months and months. And, you know, it never stops. I mean, we're always there till the end, you know, and we go back and several times, a lot of times, you know. So and a lot of people don't realize that. They think you just go in there for 2 hours and or 4 hours and you get your stuff done and you're done. But no, that's not how, that's not how it is.
No,
so I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that so that people, you know, understand that. That never it takes a while, you know.
Sure does. I mean, we've worked on cases for years. You know, we had a case in Maine that was took almost 4 years, you know, from opening to resolution. So it, definitely takes time. It's not, like you said, I mean, on TV, for sure it is, but that's TV, you know. Mm-hmm. You can't, you know, become a chef by watching Hell's Kitchen, you know, that sort of thing. It's you know, kind of the same thing there.
Yep. Nope. I'm glad you brought that up, because I don't think we've ever talked about that, but it is true. And like I said, we have several clients that, you know, will call us multiple times. You know, we might be there 1 year and then we might actually do some kind of cleansing or do some spiritual work, and then they're fine for a while and then they call back. Well, it's happening again. Can you come back out? You know, and so we do, because that's just what we do, you know. And you get to be friends with these clients, actually. You know what I mean? It's cool. It's actually a fun thing, actually, you know. So, you know, and then we recommend, you know, a lot of times we have to call in other people as well, because they're just, we have to do something, you know, and we're not getting it done. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, it's fun. So what was your, we have so many questions on the chat line, but this is for me and I want to know this. So what is your favorite place that you have investigated?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, it's different for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Some are, you know, the Birdcage Theater and, you know, the Battleship North Carolina. Some of the places in Gettysburg I really like for the history and, you know, that sort of thing. Because for me, the history is always there. The ghosts, they might be there, might not. You can't turn on, you know, you can't turn it on and off, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the history, if you love history, you always, you know, enjoy yourself, that sort of thing. But for the straight ghost part of it and the history and just the ambiance and everything you could ever want in a haunting, I think, is Waverly Hills in Louisville.
Yeah.
For me, anyway, I've been maybe 16 to 18 times, and every time is just fantastic and amazing. And the staff there, they really take care of, you know, they take it personally. They don't think they own their spirits. You know, they're very happy to have other people come and investigate and do whatever, but they do take care of them, you know, and I think that's pretty endearing, that they almost think of them as family. And it's just an awesome place. And every time I go there, something happens that I can't explain. I can't always say it's ghostly, but things I can't explain are always happening. Things that don't happen in my house, you know, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I always say that that's probably my favorite place as well. And, you know, I just, and you're right, the people that own that, and I can't think of their names right now, but they are fabulous. And I just remember that when, I've only been there once, and we're going to try to go back next year, but the experiences we had there were just amazing. I mean, it just, you know, it happened to be on that fourth floor, and you know, I like to go in these places and not really know much about them. You know, I mean, we knew some stuff, you know, but, and on that fourth floor, you know, I just had this overwhelming feeling. It was like they were projecting all these feelings of hopelessness and dread and, oh my God, I'm going to die. And I cried, Steve, I cried the whole way through that floor, because I just felt, and you know what, it turned out to be that floor was the surgical floor. Well, guess what? Those poor people were up there and they were having their lungs exposed to the air. And then what did they do? Die like 2 days later? Because, and can you imagine how painful that was? You know, so totally made sense. And I, you know, I am an empath, so they probably realized, hey, we can, you know, tell this woman what we're feeling here. You know what I mean? And it was awful. Yeah. I really did. I cried like the whole way through. And I'm usually the one on the bunch that will be, I'm way ahead of everybody else and walking by myself. And I get yelled at so many times. It's unbelievable. But this time it was like we were just at the doorway to this hallway. And I was like, I don't even want to go down there. You know, and then the tears started flowing, you know, it was awful. But that is, you're right, it's a crazy place. They're everywhere, and oh my goodness. So
yeah, awesome.
I agree with you. Tons of fun. Mm-hmm. For sure. So Heidi, what were you saying? Yeah. She's kind of
we've got questions.
I know it. I'm not going to ask any more questions. We'll ask the questions on the chat line now.
Okay.
I just had to ask that.
What?
I've got a question from Karen. This was up there back in the lineup here. She was wondering if years of investigating tend to heighten awareness or does it decline? And I guess you can speak to this personally for your own maybe awareness during investigations.
I'm a little cloudy on the question. When I investigate, does what happen?
Does your awareness heighten? Like throughout the years, do you feel like you've gained a heightened awareness or has it declined, say the same, just awareness to ghosts, spirits, paranormal? I would guess that she means that.
I wouldn't say an awareness. You know, I have no senses, sensibilities, no gifts, no feelings, none of that. Zero, absolutely zero in that regard. But, you know, I do believe that I've picked up on, you can just sort of tell when, you know, just from being exposed to it for so long, going on, you know, 25 years now, you can sort of tell when something's going to happen. And there's a reason for that. You know, we're all covered in static. I have a static barrier. You do. Everybody does. And if something else is moving around in the atmosphere, their static barrier is going to push on yours. You know, all of that matter in between the two objects is going to push on your own static barrier and give you that little bit of a tingle in the back of your neck, and you'll be able to pick up on that. And I do believe that's what I'm sort of picking up on, you know, that something else is there in my space, just has a different feel, a different vibe, a bit more charged, perhaps. I think my buddy Tango sort of picked up on that as well. We can sort of get, you know, not that, no psychic or mediumistic capability whatsoever, but we kind of just look at each other and be like, do you feel that? You know, it kind of feels like something is coming up on you, like that sort of thing.
Okay,
but
interesting.
That's about it for me, yeah.
Other than that,
I wouldn't say awareness. Yeah, it's more like just, you know, recognizing what it feels like around you when things are happening, that, you know, there is a sensation that goes along with that. And I think I've been tuned into that over the years.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank mm-hmm. you. Mm. So we have another question. I think we can squeeze it in before the break, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So we'll take a commercial break here after this. But I have a question from Nina. Do you think you have, when you're doing a paranormal investigation, do you get more spiritual activity, just in general, we'll ask this question, more spiritual activity when you're talking amongst the group that you're with, the investigators you're with, or when you're actually speaking to the spirits or trying to interact with them, or do you find that you get more activity afterwards in when you're like reviewing evidence? Do you see that that's where the activity came? So do you have a feeling of which one seems to be where you get the most activity?
It's a great question. For me, to be honest, I think it's when I'm just sort of, you know, not looking for it or not expecting it. Rarely does it happen on command or when you want it to. It's more, you know, when it sort of happens most when, say, I'm investigating with Tango, you know, we start talking about everything else. We're talking about video games and cheeseburgers and you know, something will happen. But when we're walking around asking it for a sound or asking it who it is or what its name is, you're not really getting much, you know. But, and I think part of that is because you never know what it's going to latch onto. You know, a quick, for instance, we're investigating a place and we're talking about everything in regards to the case and not getting anything. And for about 20 minutes, Tango and I started just trailing off, and we actually started talking about red sauce and basil and meatballs and stuff, and it sounds silly, but all of a sudden, yeah, we started hearing things, and, you know, Tango thought he heard a voice and played back, and sure enough he did, and all of these things start happening. We're like, that's weird. And we always try to remember what we were talking about when something happened so we can revisit that dialogue. And and it wasn't until, you know, a few days later, one of our producers was like, hey, you know, we actually check this out, and showed us that one of the dudes that died in the building was actually a chef who had been known for his Italian food and that sort of thing. So Yeah, and cool. So we kind of think maybe that's who we were talking to, and maybe we wouldn't have got those interactions if we hadn't have stumbled upon, you know, talking about how much we love Italian food inadvertently, you know, that sort of thing. So you never know what's going to get an interaction, to be honest. At least I don't think you... It's always good to use the ammunition you have, you know, the names that you have, what they were into when they were alive, or what they might be into, and using all of that stuff will always help. But sometimes it just happens when you're talking about whatever and whatever you want to.
Perfect. Good.
And then they do relate. Ooh. I know we've had that too. It's bizarre what you might get, you know, from whatever. So.
Yeah. True. Yeah, absolutely. If it's a residual haunting, you know, it's not going to even know what you're talking about. In that case, have a conversation about whatever. You're just having fun. But, you know, if it has a consciousness, a decisions, thought-making skills, all that stuff, it's probably going to, you know, want to latch on to say, if someone's walking around asking me who I am and demanding I show myself and talk to them, they're like, you're in my house. What are you talking about? I died. I took a gunshot here. This is my place. Get out of here. But if you're like, I love your house, you know, I love steak. I saw you have a cookbook over here, steaks. You're into Frank Sinatra. Look at these records. You know, I would probably be like, all right, this guy's pretty cool. You know, I'm gonna talk to him about Chewbacca, Star Wars, and the Millennium Falcon. Mm-hmm. You know, and maybe that's, you know, being a little extreme and silly. But in all honesty, you never know what conversation is going to lead you to them interacting with you. It could be a personality thing. Could be an interest thing. You just never know.
Yeah. It's true.
I found the same that, you know, really treating them like people as if they're still here. If, like you said, if someone's walking around demanding to dance in front of me and say my name and do all the stuff, I probably won't give them the time of day. But if you're going to talk about cars or movies or food, I'm in.
Yes.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yes. See? And of course, catering it to the era helps. You know,
yes, of course.
Yeah. But, if you're dealing with, you know, with a kid that supposedly died in 1910, you don't want to talk about, you know, Mario Brothers.
And
right, exactly. Right? You want to talk about maybe Jax and those crazy, when they'd roll a hula hoop down the road and hit it with a stick or whatever, you know, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But
absolutely. Sure.
Cool.
I love it. Well, we better go to a commercial break. So stay with us, everyone. We have more Steve Gonzalez in 2 minutes right here on Para X.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para X.
Hi, this is Barry Fitzgerald from GHI, and you're listening to the Para X Radio Network.
Oh, hey Heidi, what are you listening to? Heidi. Oh, hey, Steph.
Hey.
What has your attention? Oh, I'm listening to Para X, the calling radio show. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I haven't. What's it all about?
Well, it's hosted by three guys, Jerry, Alan, and Will, and they talk about paranormal investigations, UFOs, cryptozoology, psychic phenomenon, all sorts of stuff.
Oh, well, it's kind of like The Gathering, but on Wednesday, right?
Yep, you got it.
The Calling.
The Calling.
The Calling.
The Calling.
The Calling.
The Calling Radio Show every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time only on Para X.
It is the secret of the world that all things subsist and do not die, but only retire a little from sight and afterwards return again. Nothing is dead. People find themselves dead and endure the mock funerals and mournful obituaries. And there they stand, looking out the window, sound and will, in some new and strange disguise. This secret must be told to the world, and they must tell it. Because they're not dead. We know this, and we'll prove it. So join Mike and Dave every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central for the Odyssey Files. Only on Para X.
Welcome back, everybody, to The Gathering here on the Para X Network. And we are here with Steve Gonzalez with the Ghost Hunters, Original Ghost Hunters.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been having a really fun time talking with you, Steve. Welcome back.
Hey, thanks. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
And
I'm here.
Some, good questions for you from our chat room.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
So we're going to get back to some of these questions.
Mm-hmm.
And
we have a lot of good questions. So thank you. Know, we always are blessed by a bunch of really good listeners who have some really awesome questions for us, whether or not we have guests. So they are, no different tonight.
Yes.
Yeah. You have a good solid fan base. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. We all gather around the metaphysical table.
That's right.
Every week to talk whatever we're going to talk about. So
yeah.
We have a question from Amy. That's she's asking, what's the best piece of evidence you've ever captured?
Oh, that's a good question. For me, whenever I talk to somebody with some degree of pedigree, a real scientist, somebody at MIT, a physicist. Actually, just 2 weeks ago, I sat down with a physicist for a full day and interviewed him and got to the bottom of a lot of interesting questions in terms of the paranormal and theories and things that we had question marks about. And one thing they always say is, I asked this guy, do you believe in ghosts? And he kind of chuckled and he said, well, yeah, I'm a scientist. I believe in science. He's like, of course I don't believe in ghosts. But he believed in aliens, which was kind of funny. He's like, aliens.
Wow.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
But it's cool to talk to this guy because, completely unbiased, doesn't care if something's haunted or not, doesn't even believe in that sort of thing. So you're really getting unfiltered, just science question, those answers. And one thing they always say across the board to them, thermal evidence seems to be the most, undisputable type of evidence, the hardest fact kind of evidence that they can look at. Because it sort of is or it isn't. Everything else is very subjective. Thermal, if you're pointing it in a direction and you have the shape of a person there and there's nobody standing there, what is it? What could it be? If you have that mass there that's reading 100 degrees, colder or hotter right in front of you and you can't explain it, what is that? You have to know how to read the thermal camera and you have to know how to set the palette correctly. You have to know how to implement all the safeguards so you're not reading your own thermal signature. I've seen investigators that are like, look, and they're positive it's not them because, they're not standing in front of a mirror or glass, but they don't realize that the particular paint they're in front of is reflective. They don't realize that, they're really catching just that little bit of plastic that's hanging on the wall, their own reflection bouncing off of it. You have to really know how to use the device before you can say, yes or no, that sort of thing. But that seems to be the most irrefutable type. So for me, evidence we've caught at Waverly Hills, we got a really interesting thermal that ran across the camera. It looked like some legs, possibly a torso. And then at the Crescent Hotel in Arkansas, we captured what appears to be a full bodied apparition. I just say apparition because there's no identity, no established identity. Of course, if you establish an identity, we call it a ghost, but I say apparition because we have no idea who this person is, but they seem to have, acknowledged that we were there, given us a little head nod and kind of, just ignored us after that. And to me, that still is not just some of the best evidence we've caught, but maybe some of the only evidence out there that is still leaving me to scratching my head in terms of what it could be.
And was that second piece of evidence also on a thermal?
Yes, thank you. Yep.
Okay.
Excuse me. The second one was thermal as well. Yep.
Okay.
Both thermal imaging. Yeah.
Okay. So that's interesting that he had that perspective on the thermal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I've heard that, but I guess it makes sense.
It does.
How do you dispute it? Especially if it's shaped like a person.
Yes.
And you're...
Right.
Yeah. That's interesting.
It's not you. What is it? What is this person in front of me? It's not me, just...
Yeah.
But you have to be sure, that sort of thing. Because every other, it's always subjective. It really is. Any other piece of evidence that I've seen or that we've caught is still kind of like just reading a page out of a novel, whereas the thermal, you're really sort of getting the whole picture there.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Yeah, I guess that would, Yeah, and as long as you know that there was nobody else there. I mean, you know, like our team will go over EVPs and stuff all together because you think you might have the best EVP on planet Earth. And then the whole team gets together and then they say, oh, that's me. You know, it's like, yeah. You know, one of the great things about being a paranormal investigator. Yeah, that's a good point. I love it.
So there's another question, and I'll ask this, and I lost who asked it, but they were just wondering what your, do you have a spiritual or religious affiliation? You know, what's your background on this? What brings you to paranormal investigating at all? I mean, is there some kind of a spiritual background, or is it scientific? Where are you coming from with this?
Well, for me, I investigate in a very scientific manner. Of course, not scientifically, because that's impossible. You know, there's no such thing as a control in this field. You can't have a control. You can't have anything to corroborate any sort of factoid. It just doesn't exist. There's no facts in this field whatsoever, zero. So you can't really do a scientific study. But, you know, using basic scientific principles, I try to, you know, 2 is a coincidence, 3 is a pattern. That sort of thing, you know, using that mindset, trying to recognize patterns in case studies. That's sort of my, but spiritually, I am Roman Catholic, and I do believe in all of that. If I believe I'm dealing with something particularly nasty, I might, you know, call upon my faith in my own head, that sort of thing, use a prayer here and there. I do study most religions. I know a lot about, you know, Satanism, and a lot about the Wiccan religion, a lot about Mormon religion, a lot about, you know, different religions, but mm-hmm. I am a Roman Catholic, yeah, and sometimes I get some grief from other Catholics, to be honest, and when I was in Mississippi just this week here, a lot of people wouldn't even talk to me in regards to this, because they're, you know, very Bible, very, and they don't believe, but I just look at them, I say, you're a Christian. Have you ever read the Bible? You know, how do you explain the Holy Spirit? What's the Holy Ghost? What's the resurrection? What, you know, mm-hmm. what is all this? If it's not paranormal, if it's not ghostly, you know, So for me, Roman Catholic, you know, all religions, I think, have some degree of spirituality, involved. And, one thing I like about, you know, at least Catholicism and Christianity is we, you know, at least personally, I don't care what religion you are. If you follow that basic principle, nice to people, do unto others as you do on, you know, I'm going to be your friend, you know, and I don't mm-hmm. care. But mm-hmm. yeah, that's my own personal sort of thing. Cool. Okay. I try not to let religion play into it too much. You know, I like to be very unbiased and just objective with everything. But I do believe in the afterlife. I do believe in the power of prayer. I do believe that also on the other end of it, the scientific, where energy never ceases to exist, consciousness quells into the air, may go into the stars, who knows? And nobody knows the mechanics mm-hmm. behind it just yet, but we're mm-hmm. getting there. You know, we're trying to figure this stuff out.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yep, that's great. True.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We have a question from Cater.
Yeah, I see that. Cater's been kind of, you know, back and forth on the chat line here, and they want to aggravate the hosts, I guess.
Well, we're going to ignore that part. But
Yeah.
He was wondering if you've ever been physically attacked by an entity or spirit.
No, I have not. I've been, I believe, touched. I do believe that I've been brazed, perhaps, shoulder checked, maybe, you know, but to know the intention behind it, whether it's an attack, whether it's inadvertent, maybe, you know, I don't think there would be any way to determine that. I have been around cases and part of cases where, you know, I've seen, you know, people get scratched. I've seen handprints show up on people's faces right in front of me, you know, different things like that, where it does seem to be an attack has happened, but for me personally, I've never been attacked by anything paranormal. Luckily, I mean, it sounds terrible. You know, mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to be, but yeah, no, never an attack. You know, that seems to be Very, very rare, that type of haunting. You know, I mean, if you're talking the demon sort of, you know, demonic, dark, inhuman route, you know, I mean, that's, Mr. John Zappas will tell you that you come across a true demonic case maybe once every 20 years. You know, it's not like in movie and TVs where it's every place they go, there's a, you know, a severe haunting and they're getting possessed and all that. It, you know, it just, that's fantasy land. You know, yeah. A real demonic or inhuman case is one in every 20 years, you know. So the chance of being attacked, at least for me, I feel like is slim. So I'll keep with those odds, you know, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Well, right. I mean, doing it as long as you have and you haven't been attacked. And that does, I think, Stephanie, you and I, we've talked about this too, where it is so few and far between with the real nasty ones. And I'm always confused by the shows that have a demon every week.
Yeah,
I mean, that's, I mean, I don't know. I'm not there with them, whoever they are. Maybe there's, you know, maybe they are finding these extreme hauntings all the time. But, I mean, I'm in, you know, the most haunted place in the country my entire life since I've been 14 years old. And, you know, I haven't really come across anything like, I mean, maybe twice, you know, I've seen what I believe to be a possession in an early case of ours. I've been involved in a case where somebody's fingertips were taken off by a slamming door. You know, I've seen that type of haunting, but incredibly rare, very scary. Now, there are human hauntings that maybe can be misinterpreted as something inhuman, you know, where if this guy was a curmudgeon when he was alive, or this gal was, you know, a bit of a beastly, you know, mean lady when she was alive, perhaps that personality will translate, you know, in their afterlife or when they're dead. Maybe they still want to cause some trouble and be a little gruff and give you a little push around or something. But to label that a demon, you know, or something, I think you may be, you know, jumping to conclusions, perhaps.
Yeah. I agree too. Because, you know, people who call us too, and clients call you too, Heidi, and say, oh my God, I have a demon in my house or something. And it's like, okay, that's very rare. So I'm pretty sure that's not it. But, you know, we'll come out and see what we can find, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
Because it is all the TV stuff that they see, right? And there are so many TV shows out there that is everything is, oh my God, it's a demon. It's a high level demon and blah, 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 blah. You know, and it's like so rare. It's just so rare.
Yeah. So, and I mean, what's a high-level demon doing in this little haunted house and some, you know, I mean, he's got those things to do.
Exactly. That's what I would think, too.
Probably not. So what about anywhere that you've lived? Have you lived in a house that you would say is haunted? I mean, how did you get into this, I guess? You said 14 years old, right?
Well, that's when I started investigating. My interest stemmed long before that. I never lived in a haunted house. Nope, never. Two memories I have that really, I think, three memories I have that when I think about, I feel like four memories. There's four memories I have. There's four that when I think about the start that I think, well, there might be if I think a little harder, but the four things I think pushed me that way. One, when I was very young, young enough to be playing with a light bright, I remember being at a friend named Jamie at her house that was living in Pennsylvania. And I didn't know why at the time, but all of a sudden I started hearing like this plastic pinging sound, like, you know, the light bright pegs hitting the wall or whatever. I was like, oh, that's weird. What is it? And then all of a sudden my friend Jamie was crying and her mom, I remember her mom picking her up and saying, oh, it's okay, babe. It'll stop. It'll stop. Let's go to bed. And, you know, they looked at me and I remember them saying, can you call your mom or your dad or whatever to pick you up? Cause Jamie has to go to bed now or whatever. Mm. And I didn't know what that was all about. Fast forward a few years, come to find out she lived in a haunted house. And one of the things that would happen is her toys would, you know, and in this particular case, the light bright pegs were flinging at her from, you know, and I guess it would happen quite often and her parents would, you know, calm her down. And but in this case, they said, you know, relax, we're going to put you to bed. And so that was one thing that, but I don't know for sure, because I feel like I fast forwarded a good 5 or 6 years or 10 years before I even started, you know. And then, of course, the movie Ghostbusters. Loved it. Wanted to be just like every single one of those guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Venkman is, you know, of course, the king of all kings when it comes to anything, you know, ghostly. And the movie The Entity, when I was young, it really scarred me quite a bit. And I remember crying and my mom telling me it's all make-believe. What are you even doing watching that? How did you even turn that on? You're a little kid. What is going on in my house? And my son is watching these crazy movies. Told me it was all make-believe, but at the end I saw it said based on true stories. And I remember that being like, I need to, you know, really check into that. And then I read Lloyd Auerbach's book, one of them, the ESP Hauntings and Parapsychology Handbook, best paranormal book ever. I mean, William G. Rohl's Poltergeist will always be hands down, you know, but Lloyd Auerbach is my hero in this world of the paranormal, and somebody that I looked up to ever since I was, you know, 9 or 10 years old, reading that book, and really changed my path, I guess. So that was, I think, for me, all the things that I look back that sort of led me into, you know, this direction here. Yeah.
Wow.
For me.
That's good. I like the Life Bright story. I mean, not for her. I feel bad for her. But, you know,
it's been a long time since I've thought about Life Brights, but yeah.
And you don't want those pegs flinging at you. That's got to freak you out.
No.
For sure.
Nope. I remember it didn't even register to me. It was like, what was happening? I just thought, oh, my friend's tired. She's going to bed. All right. You know, and it wasn't until years later, which, you know, when I was a teenager, young teenager, and living in Massachusetts, she still lived in Pennsylvania, and her on the phone with me saying, oh, you're into that stuff for real? And I'm like, yeah, I'm reading all these books, Lloyd Arbor, this and that. And she said, you remember when we were kids, like what used to happen to me? And I was like, no. And then I was like, that's what that was? When you went to bed and your parents put you to sleep? She's like, yeah, it was light bright pegs were flying at me. I was like, aww. Oh, man, I remember that.
That's just bizarre. Wow. Yeah.
That's bizarre. Okay, so one last question here, unless you have a couple, if you have something too, Stephanie. I'm just curious, 14 years old, how did you start investigating at 14? Like, did you join a group? Did you just start running around town, knocking on your neighbor's doors? Like, what were you doing at 14 years old that you started investigating?
Yeah, well, 14... I hate to use the word sneak, but yeah, I would sneak into graveyards and, you know, be at a friend's house and tell my mom I'm sleeping over at my parents, but I would, you know, walk over to the abandoned house and do whatever, you know, not real investigating, but the fun stuff, exploring, I guess, being a kid. But at 14, I went to see the Warrens, Ed and Lorraine Warren, do a little talk at a hotel. And that was the first time I met John Zaffis too. I was 14 years old. Mm-hmm. And I went on two investigations with them when I was 15. Union Graveyard to look for the White Lady, which Ed Warren quite frequently wrote about. And I went there twice with them. And then when I was 16, I actually had a case of my own as an investigator. I was a young lad. I had my license and was driving around and had my own case. And I called Ed Warren and asked for his assistance on a case, talked to John Zaffis for a little bit. And Ed Warren took the case. He took it over, and him and Lorraine and John Zaffis worked on this case with me for a couple months. And that sort of was my kickoff into investigating. From there, I went to, started a team. And then I went to North Carolina, the Ryan Research Center, and I studied with Dr. Roll. We did an energy study. It's my early 20s. I was 20 years old exactly. We did an energy study for a few weeks at the Ryan Research Center and a few haunted houses there in North Carolina. And that was the best thing I ever did for this career of mine, because it really gave me an understanding of energy and EMF and magnetic fields. And just having met Dr. William G. Roll was amazing for me, and to say that I studied with him for a few weeks just blows my mind still to this day. But
wow.
That's sort of, yeah, what happened for me. And then 6 years after that, I joined TAPS, or 5 years after that. Yeah, and that was in 99, I think, when I joined TAPS, or 2000 exactly. No, 99. I knew Jay long before that. I knew him when I was in my teens, but I didn't join TAPS until, yeah. And then we got the show 6 years after that in 2004.
Wow. What a journey.
I know, right? Who knew?
Whoa.
This is awesome. Wow. I got nothing to talk about after that. Right?
I know. I'm like Ed and Lorraine Warren. Are you kidding me? Okay, I'm done.
Oh, it was great. I mean, those two, people can, you know, I've heard people say weird here and there about them, that sort of thing, but I don't know. They're the real deal. If they weren't the real deal, they wouldn't have called 16-year-old Steve back and you know, worked with him on a case for a couple months, and they, you know, it may have became a little bit more movie driven or something, but they're the real deal. They very, very lucky, fortunate, and everything you can imagine those words to mean, to say that I you know, even spoke to them, let alone worked with them closely for a little bit. But, you know, I love John Zaffis, still talk to him to this day. I'll see him in 2 weeks. I'm super excited. But yeah, I met him when I was 14 and have known him ever since.
That's awesome.
So awesome.
That would have been my the cherry on the sundae for me to meet those two.
Yeah.
And I know he's passed, but that they do seem like the real deal. Just yeah, that's good.
Oh yeah. And it's so sweet. I mean, they're really, Lorraine, she'll just make your heart melt. She's so, always has been. Not to say, you know, I didn't have a close relationship with them whatsoever. I don't want to paint a picture like I knew them personally. It was very much a short working relationship, but yeah, they were nothing but sweet, gracious, kind, in love with the field, in love with what they did. Yeah, it's great.
That's awesome. And it sounds like you really enjoy what you do too. You have this passion for it as you're talking, that is really, it's nice to hear, especially from someone that's been in the field for as long as you have.
Yeah.
Been.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. I love it. It's my life. I love it. I wouldn't change it for anything. I mean, you're in the haunted, abandoned, dark house or asylum. It's like your 15, 16, 17-year-old fantasy, and you live it for the rest of your life. It's amazing. And we're doing science work. Come on.
Yeah.
It's science.
Yes, it's not real, all of those things. 16,
it is. Oh my gosh. Well, you know, we have 2 minutes left, Steve. Where can Pete, now I know that you have public investigation coming up pretty soon, right? Where is that?
Yeah. Yeah. These are always super duper fun. And you know, we do some conventions and you know, they're fun. I love them, but it's very much you sit at your table, you stand there and you sign and you don't really get a chance to talk much. And unless you go to an after party or a bar or something, you can maybe chat, but you know, during the time, but at these events, you know, you're there with 50 to 100 people, and that's it. And you really get to spend time with people and have fun and really talk about the paranormal and investigate together. I learn things every time. That's amazing to me. But, yeah, and I'm going to be at the New Jersey Para-Unity Convention that's coming up in a few weeks in Woodbridge, New Jersey. I have an investigation at the end of this month at Octagon Hall in Franklin, Kentucky.
Ooh,
excited
that
for that.
Come
say hi.
Yeah.
I've been there. It's really awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited to check that out. That's in a few weeks. And then Rhode Island, it'll be in Newport. That's coming up. That's at Fort there. You can check all of that out. I'm making my way around the country the next few months.
You are.
Yeah, I'll be there. I'm on, you know, all the things. I just made an Instagram recently, just in the last couple of weeks or whatever, month or so, and that's been a lot of fun. People can find me there, but, you know, Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff. Like you said, I didn't really make a website. I never really had one made. I probably should. People say I should, but I just,
You know, it's just an extra thing you have to do then. That's what I say.
I just don't have enough to say. You know? I don't know.
Well, you can join our show again. How about that?
Yes. Will you come back at some point?
Anytime.
Oh, awesome.
Of course. Yeah. Cool. We talked earlier about some projects maybe. So
yeah.
when they come to fruition, please have me back and we'll talk all about them. Yeah.
Well, and we'll keep in touch, and we will for sure see you at our Paracon here in a few months.
It's super fun.
We'll chat with you before that. So I guess we got to go. Heidi's waving her arms because
we're getting down to the end.
So thank you, Steve, so much for being on. We love you.
You're welcome.
And we will have you on soon again.
And thank you to Para-X. And thank you to our listeners and chat room folks and Sarge, our producer. And everyone that joined us tonight, and we'll look forward to seeing y'all next week on The Gathering. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye.